We're confused a lot, aren't we, Paul?
We are, but we go with the flow, don't we?
Yes, but this was no confusion here. We've been excited all week to have you. Jessica Cox is here along with her husband, Patrick. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we're here to talk a little bit about diversity programs, and that takes many forms. But Patrick, what does that mean for you and Jessica?
Well, diversity, you know, Jessica kind of represents several different demographics. She's a woman. She has a disability. She's Filipino American, and, you know, a pilot. You know, that's also not a common thing in the U.S., though, you know, we can be here with 600,000 of our fellow friends.
So we've talked this week, several of our guests and programs have been about growing the pilot population, growing the aviation workforce, talking about diversity. And it's pretty clear that if we can solve the diversity issue, we can also solve the pilot population and some of the other things. Jessica, how are you doing that? How are you reaching out?
I think that people hear my story, and it really, the idea of flying really made me never phase them. In the same way, it never phased me as a possibility until the opportunity came about. And when they hear about my story, they really consider it and think, well, if she can do it, then why not me? And I think that's a wonderful example that anyone, no matter, you know, no matter what their background is, if it's something they want to pursue, they can do it.
And you're the first licensed pilot to be licensed with no arms.
Yes, let me correct that so that, because we all know the nuances here, and the first certified pilot without arms, yes.
You're making a distinction between license and certificate.
Yes.
Yes. I know some FAA people that would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patrick, you were going to say.
Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought with the comment about licensing and certification. But yeah, I think we did hear some FAA talk at some point, and somebody was like, well, it's this and that, but we use them both. And
yeah.
And how do you start out with just really convincing people that no matter, you know, what they think their obstacles are, other than, you know, some obvious things, but how do you break that ice?
Well, you know, my whole life I've been told you can't do something. And it's obviously because of the way that I look. I don't have the arms. And from the moment I was on the playground in elementary school, I was told you can't climb up the slide. And it angered me and it frustrated me. And I bring people back to that moment they've ever been challenged. And no matter what it is, whatever the reason it is that they've been challenged, I remind them that, you know, that they can do it. And to really recognize that sometimes people are limited by the way they see a certain challenge or the way they see someone, but it's really about stepping outside of that and shifting your perspective to seeing the possibility.
And how does your program work? Is it event driven? Is there like an online component that you try to connect with people?
So I have a speaking business I've been doing now for over 15 years, and that is going around the world, 27 countries thus far, and traveling with this message of think outside the shoe. Basically, change the way you see any challenge or the way you shift your own perspective. And that whole message has been all over the world. And now we have a foundation called Right Footed Foundation International, which Patrick can jump in at any moment to tell more about, because it's an amazing work we've been doing with that.
Yeah, so, you know, the foundation exists to help spread the message and awareness of disability and work with kids. And, you know, one of those perspectives we like to shift is, for Jessica, she's not really hindered by her condition of not having arms. She's hindered by doorknobs that are round instead of levers. She's hindered by a manual transmission in a rental car versus an automatic transmission. So if we can shift that perspective that Jessica isn't unable to do anything, it's just how we design the world around us that sometimes gets in the way, and, you know, choosing those better options whenever we can.
Like, we can't have women in sports because we don't have women's locker rooms. Well, let's change that.
Yeah, let's change that for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. We got to look at the way the world's engineered, and it's like, you know what? We don't just stop there and say, oh, we can't do it. We change the world.
Yeah.
The topic, of course, of diversity, it's widespread, and it should be. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we been talking about for quite some time in the pilot group is I can't possibly understand the life you've lived. You may not completely understand the life I've lived, but once you start talking about aviation, mm-hmm. we all have a common background, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yes, for sure.
And go ahead.
Yeah, the aviation community for Jessica, she talks about this all the time, has been very supportive once she stepped forward and said, I want to do this. And yeah. people were like, okay, let's figure it out.
So, Patrick, you talked a bit about design of sort of common elements, you know, mm-hmm. that are around us. Move us into an airplane. Are there some issues here?
Oh, yeah. So the big thing we announced this morning is Jessica wants to build an experimental airplane that's custom controlled for her to fly. So for so long, she's been flying the Aircoupe. The rudders and ailerons are interconnected. So
sure.
she just has the pretzel yoke. She pulls back, turns it left and right, and she can control the airplane. RV-10s are a little more complex.
Yes.
Every other airplane in existence is a little more complex. So it's kind of boiling that down to the key critical elements, prioritizing them in a way that Jessica functions in that way, and building it back up from the ground up. You know, we're going to run into some roadblocks. Some things are going to be wrong. We're going to hopefully get everything fixed and fine-tuned before we fire up the engine for the first time. But, you know, maybe something out of this, you know, designing something for a pilot with feet to fly an airplane inspires some ideas that then go back out into the community and make it easier for everyday pilots to fly their airplanes, which is kind of the revolving door of diversity. You know, people help someone with a unique situation do something new, and then that can feed back into the general population and create something even better.
Well, I can imagine there will be a lot of lessons.
Oh yeah,
to learn.
Is this going to be a clean sheet, or is it you're going to adapt? Have you chosen a current plans or kit built that you want to adapt?
Yes, we're starting with the RV-10 kit. And working on, first of all, coming up with some prototypes for the designs on the modifications to retrofit the pilot PIC seat and making it very comfortable, keeping the right seat obviously the same so that anyone can fly it with their hands. So that is what the plan is, to start with the RV-10, and Vans has been encouraging and they've been on board and they've really supported us.
I was going to say, you probably couldn't pick a nicer airplane and a nicer company to work with, because I have some experience in building, and their support is outstanding. I mean, you can call them with any question, and you'll get an answer. It's just really a great group.
Yeah, Vans and their community of builders. The Vans Air Force has been amazing, too.
Yeah, it's now, I think it's the largest kit, or largest number of kits that have been built. So you're going to have such a resource community that is probably be pretty eager to chip in if you need help or ask for any assistance.
We certainly need lots of ideas.
Well, but I think it's a two-way street, because the project that you're doing, you're giving something back to the community in trying to sort this out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been so wonderful to be able to awaken the creativity and awaken that this the versatility of flying and how we can make this world more inclusive in aviation. So it opens up that door to possibility for so many others.
And just think about that. Vans will be able to offer a Jessica Cox mod of some sort as part of their regular line at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been enjoying the show this week? Is this your first day here, or have you been here all week?
We have been here all week, and we did the journey from Tucson, Arizona, all the way to Oshkosh in the Aircoupe.
Oh, wow.
Which 2,000 miles, 2 weeks to the day we left.
All right.
That's great. Where, is your Aircoupe out on the field somewhere?
It is. It's a vintage, actually.
Oh,
a vintage area.
Of course.
You can find it.
Yeah.
It looks like a taxi cab. It's called
Yellow
Jessica.
And white.
What's it called? Jessicab, you said?
Jessicab, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love
That's
it.
Great.
It's excellent. Do you have a little light that says on duty, off duty? Does the beacon say on duty, off duty? It's just flash.
That's funny.
Yeah, I need to probably do that, but I just bought my first custom chocks, and it says look mono hands on the chocks.
Right.
Well, you two are really an inspiration. And I think it's a wonderful project. I wish you a lot of luck in how quickly you get it done and how much you learn and inspire other people.
Hey, we're going to be ambitious. We want to try and get it done by 2025.
Well, we'll get you back here next year. Get an update.
Yeah. We'll probably be just getting the kit. They've been pretty busy over there at Vans. But yeah. We may have some prototypes we can show off. We need people's ideas. If you know people have ideas, send them to us. We need all the ideas that people can get. Their diverse ideas will help us with this project.
Jessica, I'm sure you have a website. Is there some contact information you can share with us?
Yes, please. Please go to www.jessicacox.com/project2025.
Outstanding.
I was going to ask, in just the minute we have left, you've been doing this your entire life. What is your process going through to learn a technique or work with something that normally has been a hand tool and now you work with your feet? What's the process you go through to learn that?
Well, for me, it's really about adapting and learning how I can make it work. And that's how it's been from the beginning, because this whole world is designed for hands and arms. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just really about seeing how I can process this challenge or whatever it is I'm trying to do. Like, for example, my shoes. Everyone ties their shoes with their feet inside their shoes. But for me, I have to tie from the outside, which is why I came up with the phrase, think outside the shoe. So I tie the laces with my toes, and it took me a couple hundred tries to finally get it, but I tied the bow, and then I slipped my foot in. So that's just an example of a day-to-day challenge.
Thank you very much, Jessica. And Patrick, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And you can catch Jessica tomorrow on Hot Start at 8:15. That's it for Squawk 1200. For Paul, I'm After Bernal. You're listening to EAA Radio.